This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 849. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by my co-hostess with the mo-hostess, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to the two of us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live, as we always do, at KOOP.org. Please, just stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hurry and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Now when they see him, they'll make a fuss.
It is Wednesday, November 5th, 2025. On the show today, we have Broad Theater and their show, A Doctor's Visit. And later on, we'll be talking to St. Edward's University's Mary Moody Northern Theater and their show, the brand new Much Ado About Nothing. Of course, we'll have lots of talk about theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, and Tyler, Texas. Stay with us.
People, we want to make sure the revival goes off without a hitch, so let's go over the schedule. Listen up.
All right, that's enough of that talking.
Enough.
Hear me, Bat Boy. That's a Bat Boy.
Sing a Bat Boy.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Lisa.
Welcome to November.
I know.
It's been cool, but it's going to get hot again.
Well, it's a little warm today.
With the double H-E hockey sticks.
Well, you like the cold.
It's I do.
It's going to be back around the corner again before you know
All
it.
All right, whatever. And then it's
going to
be hot again.
Reminder, we don't live in a cold state.
Yeah, but that's what they tell me.
So...
I don't know if
that's
I don't
what
know
happens.
If I agree.
You just don't get winter as much.
I don't
or
know.
Or four seasons.
I don't know. All I know is that my iPhone dropped in the toilet today.
Yeah, that was no bueno.
It's still working though.
That is bueno, but the other one is not.
I know. It was
And I thought losing it underneath my seat between the things was bad today.
And
but
frankly,
you talked
to
me.
This is too much information. But I'm not sure at what state the toilet water was in at the time it happened. I'm just saying,
no.
I'm not sure.
No. You cleaned that, right?
I just reached in and grabbed it, and then I made sure to wash my hands.
And the phone, I hope. You
yeah,
wiped the
I
phone
washed
down.
Everything.
Okay.
Let's introduce the folks that are sitting here with
yes,
us,
Yes, we
shall
have
we?
Some people.
We do. We have Annika Lechvin. Hi, Annika.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show.
I'm so excited to be here.
And we have newcomer to the show, Bo Paul.
Hi.
Hi, Bo.
Happy Guy's Fox Day. Guy Fox Day, everybody.
Oh, I guess
that is. Guy Fox Day.
Yes, remember the 5th of November.
I don't even know what that means.
It's the English holiday,
yes.
So you're okay
okay.
You don't.
He tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament, and I certainly wouldn't suggest that.
Okay.
Yes.
I call him Guy.
Guy Fox.
And then real newcomer to the show, Bailey Parks.
Hi, thank
Bailey.
You for having us.
We love having you. So that was Bat Boy. Which just opened at City Center as part of whatchamahoojit. I just lost the name of it. Never mind.
The
doesn't
Will
matter.
City Center season.
Yeah. Stuff. Yeah. There's a name for it. I forgot what it is.
Yeah. I forgot too. It actually has several brand new songs and a revised book by the original creators.
Mm-hmm. I think Bat Boy.
And
is...
then expanded orchestrations. So.
Yeah. I think Bat Boy is. One of the underrated musicals out there, and what a wonderful message it has.
Well, they delve deeper into the musical's themes of identity, acceptance, and the healing power of love, Lisa.
Good.
So I bet you you would love it even more.
Love it even better. This stars Taylor Trench as the Bat Boy in question. He was one of the early replacements for Ben Platt in Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
feel free to jump in. My mind just goes blank on occasion. I, of course, did not read the review because I forgot to.
Melissa Jarrett Whitaker is in this also.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And she plays, what's her name?
She plays Mrs. Taylor.
Yeah, Mrs. Taylor. Anyway, the reviews are also Carrie Butler is in it.
Mm-hmm. And then Melissa and the Carrie are doing a show, a little cabaret on the side.
There you
with
go.
With the Laura.
So much.
Laura Lee Bundy. Oh my goodness. I'm blanking on stuff today.
Yeah. Anyway, it's playing through November 9th. So if you want to go see it, best get on an airplane right now.
Because you only got still this weekend.
The reviews are generally good. It's what I've been told.
Yeah. I see all the things.
Yeah.
Vulture, thumbs up. 1 Minute Critic, thumbs up. The New York Times, thumbs up.
Yep.
Average rating, 83.3.
Oh, what are you looking at?
Pretty good.
Broadway World does the average rating.
Oh,
They congregate everything and then give you a percentage.
I have to check that out. I like percentages.
Yes.
You know, did you know that 97.3% of all statistics are made up?
I know. That's why I said that percentage for you.
Where'd you get that one, Lisa? Yes.
I believe from Broadway World. The White House press room.
Exactly.
We did have a Broadway show that opened up at one of my favorite theaters in New York City, which is the Booth Theater.
The Booth Theater is a good one. It's nice and intimate.
And the very first Broadway house I actually stepped foot into
was
in the backstage, not as
not as a patron,
not as a patron, but as a
in the biz.
Yeah, in the biz when we were doing the Elephant Man. Anyway, Little Bear Ridge Road by Samuel D. Hunter in his Broadway debut opens, starring Laurie Metcalf.
Ooh.
And this was a little controversial going in because this marked the return of Scott Rudin.
Yes.
Dun, 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 dun. So I guess, you know, folks that get canceled can get uncanceled.
So surprisingly often.
He never really stopped. That's the thing. He just wasn't public. But
correct.
Like everybody gave him a public shame on you. And all he did was still keep doing what he was doing, but stayed out of the spotlight.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Until now.
I think that
he's in the spotlight.
When it first happened, he lost money because he had to drop out.
He did, but he was still in the shadows.
Correct.
Doing everything.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they like it aggregator had 15 reviews, 12 of which were positive. 3 were middle of the road, and that leaves 0 negative.
Yeah, Laurie Metcalf is kind of awesome.
She is.
And she's very special live.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want her any other way, quite frankly.
No, you know when you see some actors, you're like, oh, that was good, but there's something just really ultimately special when some people that are live, you're like, whoa.
Yep. The review for the New York Times is written by Laura Collins Hughes, and she made it a New York Times critics pick. She said of Laurie Metcalf? That's going to be her new name.
Laurie Metcalf has great craft.
I'll send her an email. Said of her, she is one of the funniest and most thoroughly human characters seen lately on the New York stage. This had a premiere at a little theater called Steppenwolf in the Chicagoland area.
Which Laurie has been working at since
she was one of the founders.
She was in the basement.
Kevin Spacey and Malkovich John
and
Malkovich.
What's his name?
Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise.
Yep. I had Gary Sinise when I was at the Actor's Studio. I had Gary Sinise as one of our, back when they used to still air inside the Actor's Studio.
Mm-hmm.
I got to sit in that Gary Sinise session. That
excellent.
Was nice. Awesome. And he talked all about them starting it. Their first show was Arsenic and Old Lace, because nothing says 18-year-olds being cast in Arsenic and Old Lace.
Yes, that's the cutting edge of theater in Chicago in the 70s.
Yeah.
All right. So Little Bear Ridge Road, back to what we were talking about, is a three-hander. It is set on the remote edge of a small Idaho town. It centers on a razor-tongued aunt and her long-estranged nephew who find themselves suddenly back in each other's lives. Two lonely souls with a crumbling house to sell and a tangled history to unravel. Bitingly funny and quietly explosive, Little Bear Ridge Road lays bare our messy human need to reach across the voids to one another, even when it shakes us to the bones. This all happens during the pandemic. During the shutdown.
So it all must be a little more heightened when they reconnect.
Yes. But all good. Good reviews. Other critics said, stand by, I'm going to find it here. Oh, wait, I need to read this first. I don't know why I highlighted it, but this was Little Bear Ridge Road asks of its audience a mere 95 minutes straight through. And if Hunter wraps things up neatly at the end, that's the kind of story he decided to tell. Unlike some maddening TV shows, he's not about to leave you dissatisfied.
Ooh, okay.
That's actually a reference. The two of them bond over a TV series that has a particularly bad finale.
Yeah. There's several of those.
Yeah,
yeah. I wonder which one.
This is a fictional
Probably Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So, New York Daily News, Chris Jones said, if you are someone who finds it hard to talk about personal feelings or love someone in that category, especially if that someone is in existential crisis, you will find this a play very moving. Robert Hofner of The Wrap said, pulling the strings is director Joe Mantello, who just knows how to stage a great sparring match for maximum entertainment. He directed Rocky Das Musical.
I've talked about Rocky Das Musical a few times this week.
He didn't really direct that. I just made that up because they were sparring.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Wall Street Journal from Charles Isherwood.
I was very impressed you remembered who the heck directed it. I was like, I don't even remember who directed it. But
it's quite possible he did, but I doubt it.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Charles Isherwood said, Miss Metcalf's remarkably fine performance is flirty, fun, and savagely unsentimental. And Mr. Stock's Micah is sensitive to the point of seeming to squirm inside a constricted, wounded soul. So good reviews all around for that. So that's Little Bear Ridge Road.
I'm going to say they're on Little Bear Ridge Road. They might refer to Little Bear Ridge Road.
I'm
going
to say
going out on a limb.
Okay. I'm going to say this for no particular reason. So don't make it think that I'm going to say anything particular afterwards.
Okay.
But the views expressed on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, underwriters, or anybody else here. It's just our views, and that's it. All right, I need to run right to what is really exciting you. We're talking about this just for you because...
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to get tears in my eyes and get so excited again.
I do not get the excitement.
Did you not watch any of the clips?
No, I watched none of it. Zero of it.
That would make a difference.
I did. I watched the trailer for the show.
No, you need to watch the interview.
Well, I wasn't going to. This is Paddington Bear.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
On the West End as a musical... called I'm Having a Little Moment Here.
I did not think that's where this was going.
And that little bear is changing people's lives.
Oh my god.
Well, actually I did.
Please take care of this bear.
I watched the first movie only recently.
My god, I'm going to start crying. Paddington is joy.
Yeah, no.
You got to watch the second one.
And he has marmalade sandwich.
All right,
for
but
you.
here's
in case of emergency.
What I find interesting. So it's just started previews in the West End. So we don't have any word. And everybody's
just gooing and gawing because they can't get over it. But it's an animatronic Paddington.
This is what I want to find out.
However, there's an actor in it.
Correct.
And the animatronic puppet, the puppeteer that controls all of the facial expressions is also the voice.
And is off stage.
Correct.
And the person that's in it, I saw an interview with her.
Yes.
The young woman. So I think I don't know if that's been done before, but it's like a...
Well, it's been like, that's how they did R2-D2 and the Star Wars movies. Yeah. Well, not on stage. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm talking on stage.
King Kong was controlled off stage.
There you go.
And the voices
but there wasn't a person inside.
No, it was a one-time animatronic puppet.
A very big person.
So typically puppets in the theater are either mostly operated by somebody outside, although Lion King, not all the way inside. There's some, anyway. But looks very interesting. What else do you want to talk about this particular show?
Because the interview when I cannot remember the BBC reporter's name. It's gone viral. But he was on stage and Paddington walked out and they started to talk. And he was just so thrown off. He was thrown totally back in his childhood. And he's like, I'm just speechless. And then the way Paddington looks at him and you can see the little smirk and the talking, you just have joy. I took my Paddington bear with me.
Like some people that have worked with the Muppets are like, if you're talking to the puppeteer, it's one thing. But as soon as it's Kermit, they're like, oh my God, I'm back in my childhood.
Paddington is such a... I know the movies are so much current, but Paddington is a book that's been passed down for generations. I don't know. He has such good things. He's a little lost bear from Peru.
He's a national treasure.
The BBC person was David Silto.
Thank you.
Now, I have a question, because I also saw the puppet. And did it not give just a tiny bit of Uncanny Valley? Just slightly? Just
what does
like
that
a
mean?
Like a little, like, you're like, is this a real bear? Is this not a real bear? Like, there's something a little like, about the animatronic? Or was that just me? Am I alone in that?
Uncanny Valley is like when you watch an AI video and you're just like, something about this
is a little
striking.
No, yeah. It brings me joy.
Yeah,
I love nothing that. About it.
And I also think having the background and exposure to something like that helps you like make the leap out of the valley.
I've gone down the rabbit hole and I have watched so much. The sets are beautiful. Some of the songs that I've heard are beautiful. I don't know. I can't wait till the review comes out. But yeah,
okay, I'm gonna say we've just talked about this. You know, five minutes more than I thought.
It's Paddington.
It's made me a better man.
There you go. Well, I'm glad that we had this conversation because clearly I'm in the minority.
I can't
here.
Wait to see
totally
the reviews.
Totally underwhelmed.
I am waiting with anticipation.
So here's what I'm kind of not fascinated by, but I think is pretty cool. Jordan Litz, who plays Fiero in Wicked currently.
Oh, People's Most Beautiful Man. No. Yeah, Beautiful Man.
This man.
Oh, no,
well,
in
that's
Wicked.
Jonathan Bailey.
You're talking about Bailey. About the stage version.
Yeah, the Broadway version, the real version. He ran the New York City Marathon on Sunday. No, I love the movie version. He ran the New York City Marathon on Sunday. What happens on Sunday at the theater?
He went and did a show.
Then he went and did a show.
Oh my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Not the first person to do it, guys.
But wait. He did an evening show too.
Stop! How? And it was a marathon?
Wait, guess what? Guess how long between the marathon end and the opening and the curtain of the show?
Was it an hour?
Hour and a half.
Over an hour.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. If I was wearing a hat, I would take it off to him right now.
Oh my gosh.
Who else has done that before?
No.
One Cynthia Erivo.
That's amazing.
No way.
Really?
Yeah, yep.
She ran a marathon and then went and did a Back in the Color Purple.
There's tons of Broadway actors that do it. It's not the first, but it's amazing. I am not like, but they go down and tell you and you're like, what are these people thinking?
How? The stamina.
Uh-huh.
The breath control.
Joe Strummer, the guitarist and singer for The Clash, did it after playing a set like the night before. But yeah, he didn't go and do two shows after it.
No. You're still up for that.
Crazy.
First of all, running the marathon is crazy.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Then to go and do two shows is like, whoa.
I trained for it once upon a time.
A marathon?
Yeah.
The New York City Marathon.
Wow. Did you run it?
No.
But no, I did train.
No, I started to train. I think I did one training thing. I trained for about 3 months and then we did it. And that was back in the day because I'm old. This would be in the late 70s, early 80s, when you didn't have to qualify. You could just go.
Oh, dearie.
Yeah. Wow.
So that was that. Here's something interesting. Three Penny Opera. There's going to be a new production of that.
I don't know how you retouch it after that last revival and cast. Just saying.
Well, this is interesting. So it's a completely re-envisioned version.
Yeah, I still don't
And
know
it's
why
starring
you retouch
my,
it.
My girl crush, Katrina Link.
She's amazing.
I love her, although the last thing that she did majorly did not get good reviews.
Yeah,
for company. But other than that, she's amazing.
I'll say this is the time and place for people doing more Brecht. So get it out there.
And George Abood is also in it. But what I find interesting, he is adapting it, which is the show itself is in the public domain. The original book
and libretto.
He adapted it and he's directing it, which I think I'm gonna say this out loud. You cannot direct a live theater piece and be in it at the same time.
It's very difficult.
Because I've done it, and it's a disservice to the cast and it's a disservice to the production. I just say that because you can't
keep eyes on it.
Or you do keep your eyes on it, and then you're not being... When I did it, my fellow cast members never had my complete attention until dress rehearsal.
Yep.
I was always looking at other stuff. Anyway, so this is going to be called Three Penny Opera. Three is the number three, and three penny is one word with the number three. It's going to run off-Broadway at Theater St. Jean's. It's produced by Off-Brand Opera. And it's set in present-day New York City against the backdrop of a mayoral inauguration, which they will be having soon.
Yeah, that last revival was so good. I still don't know why you'd mess with it. But I find this interesting. Well, but I'm going to leave that other thing in my palate.
Well, the good news about things like this, and I was just talking about this with other properties, is it's, you know, I think you can try different things, and there's no reason to
just saying it's not my jam.
It does not discount. It doesn't take anything away from the previous production to have a new production.
No, but sometimes productions are so good. Like, I haven't gone back and seen certain shows because it was so absolutely intense and amazing. And I'm like, going back and seeing it is going to do me a disservice and make me look at things and not like a show that's how good this specific one was for me.
I think that's your loss, but that's it.
Yeah.
I
don't think it's my loss. I think it's my gain because I've got Alan Cumming and Anna Geister and Cindy Lauper and Carlos Leon and this amazing Studio 54 production in my head.
Okay. All right. Anyway, speaking of that, and we're going to actually, I was supposed to talk about this for the last thing because we're going to play music from it on the way out. But 1956, there was a revival with Lotta Lynya, who is Vile's wife, along with, oh my God, I have got to remember the other people. But anyway, it was off Broadway, but she won a Tony Award for it.
Didn't she get the Tony or something?
But she got a Tony. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened either.
It's Lotta Lynya. What are you going to do?
And, of course, there's a 1989 revival with Sting.
Yes.
And then the one that Nicole Love with Alan Cumming and Cindy Lauper was in 2006.
I love all the different recordings of these songs. They're really good.
I saw the...
Okay, 2006. Like, that's time for a revival again. Yeah. I mean...
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with having a revival.
I saw the public theater one in the park in the early 80s.
Is that the one that Raul Julia was Mac?
I don't remember who played Mac. I remember I.M. Hobson, who you would recognize if you saw him, sang Mac the Knife.
Okay, yes.
So I can't remember. Okay, let's see. We're going to run out of time as we always do. Oh, we're already out of time. I guess we need to talk about Diane Ladd, who just passed away. R.I.P. She was 89.
She was awesome sauce.
Her daughter, she was married to Bruce Dern, and her daughter is Laura Dern. Mm-hmm. She never won an Academy Award.
Mostly
known for movies. She was nominated three times. She was on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Was she in the original Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore?
Yes, she was. Yes. Oh, no, she was. She was that the film.
The film, yes definitely. Yeah.
She was. And interestingly enough, she came back on the TV show Flo, I think on the second or third season.
She did.
Not as Flo, who she played.
No, it wasn't Flo. She was Flo's replacement on Alice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. She was in 1968, she played a show called Carry Me Back to Morningside Heights, which did not last very long. Neither did a Texas trilogy, Lou Anne Hampton, Laverty Overlander, which was in 1976. Both of those were very short-lived shows. But I lived in Morningside Heights for a little while.
Did
that
you?
That matters. Yep.
Did someone carry you all the way back?
Yes, they did. And then the final thing I want to talk about, because I want to, Sweeney Todd is going to have a showing in Los Angeles in January of 2026. Starring Lee Marino, that's the choreography, starring Will Swenson and Leslie Margarita.
You know I love me some Leslie Margarita.
Who doesn't? And directed by Jason Alexander.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
yeah. Your buddy.
Yeah, my buddy.
I think that's an interesting combo. I think it'll be good. It'll be different.
I don't know why this is a thing. It says it's going to feature Jonathan Tunick's original orchestrations. Wouldn't they all have his original orchestrations?
Yeah. Unless did they just change stuff in this last revival that maybe they're going back to the old school?
Maybe.
Could be. The maybe. They may have changed stuff for the Groves.
Yeah, maybe. All right. Yeah, there's other stuff. If you want to see, if you want to read about the stuff that we didn't get to talk about, you can go to offstageonair.com and go to our show links, because I put them all in there, even if we talked about them or not. But there's some interesting stuff here. And we're going to take a break, and we are going to hear La Dolina singing Pirate Jenny
from
Three Penny Opera. We will be right back.
From your face, every building in town is a flat.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and
Nicole
Shiro.
Chef.
And we are going to reintroduce our guest for the reason why they're actually here. This is Broad Theater's production of A Doctor's Visit. We are fortunate enough to have the playwright here in the studio, Annika Lechvin. Hi, Annika.
Hi.
And then two of the performers, Bailey Parks.
Hello.
And Beau Paul.
Hi, I'm not a doctor, but I play one in this play.
Well, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. That is not a endorsement of any company.
No.
Just
going to
say that, but I did.
It was just a
Annika,
fact about you.
Tell us what this show is about.
Yeah, so it is about a nurse, Joy, and it follows her as her daughter comes forward and tells her that one of her classmates is harassing her. And it's about Joy's journey to protecting her daughter. And as that unfolds, there are some echoes in her professional life that overlap with her journey.
And this is a
spooky.
This is spooky. Well, it's spooky season. Actually, I guess it's not anymore. It's November.
I mean, there's always a little
trail. It's like a trail.
It's still post-spook. We're not even a week away.
Calm down on your tinsel garlands and your trees.
Yeah, hey, Thanksgiving hasn't even happened yet, you know?
Yeah. So this is a new piece.
Yes. And I was able to develop it with GFT Writes. Which was really, really awesome, and really helped. This play, I feel like, is something that I've been working on for the last 2 years, and GFT Writes, being able to work with Megan and the cohort and getting everybody's feedback and hearing their questions has just been invaluable to the process and seeing the piece grow.
So how has, first of all, we should say that it's being directed by Molly Fonseca.
Yes.
A friend of the show.
Yeah.
How has the process been going? Have you been making a lot of changes during the rehearsal?
Yes, actually, yeah. The process of this play has been has lived a little differently than other processes for myself in the past. It has very much been alive as the actors work on things, as I hear lines, and the actors and Molly have questions and. Yeah, so it has been actively changing, I think, much to the chagrin of the actors. Even tiny little words will change, like we're changing up until a few weeks ago.
That's one of the beautiful things about doing new work, is that to me, and for when I work on new work, that is the way it always goes.
Yeah.
We're working, and I always say, and I'll ask y'all, is this show locked now because you're about to open?
Yeah, I mean... You know, I like to say I reserve the right to make any changes, but...
We have a whole nother rehearsal to go. Who knows where we're going to land?
Well, surprise, there's some crazy stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
So Bailey and Bo, tell me how y'all feel. How's the process been for you? I'm going to just go out on a limb that you've both worked on new pieces before. No, Bailey says no.
No, this is my first time developing a play.
Shaking your head does not work on the radio.
I know.
It's been a while for me too, and I also kind of jumped in. There was another person who was doing the role, and unfortunately could not continue. And I knew someone in the cast, and I have auditioned for Molly and Annika for Hungry Teenage Track Stars in the past, so I just jumped in the saddle. And it's been a very I wouldn't say nebulous, but there are things in motion, and you can feel it. And it's great because you I always feel like I'm contributing as an artist, but you feel like you're contributing so much more to something that people are seeing for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really worried about working on an original piece for the first time, and that nebulous quality. I was worried that I wouldn't have as much to like grasp onto when you're working with an established piece and it's like so set in stone. But this has been really fun, really freeing as an actor to know that you can like talk about it and pitch ideas and have those, you know, be part of it.
Yeah. And you get to set you have no preconceived notion of your character other than what the playwright and the director have given you.
Yes.
And then you add your thing. And this is what's so beautiful about the creative process is that what Annika started with before Molly and her started working on it was one thing. Probably what you started rehearsal with was another thing. Yeah. And what's going to open up is going to be yet a third thing.
Yeah.
Which I just love.
Yeah.
Also, this is it's a completely contemporary colloquial play that could be happening like right now. And so, you know, my last couple of pieces have been period in a way. And so, but I don't have any accent to lean on, you know, none of that. And so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Always interesting to find a character's voice and finding it in one that, you know, you're kind of almost using your everyday speaking voice you know, a new challenge.
It's Bhopal stripped raw.
Yeah. Come on in. See, Bhopal 1.0.
Sounds like a tour.
If there's any reason to go see it, that's one of them. So the themes are very, very topical, very heartfelt. Is this a comedy? Is this not a comedy? How would you classify it?
I would say it's... gosh, I always struggle. I think
you should ask the playwright.
I know, right? Hey, playwright, where are you?
Did you see that play, Hungry Teenage Track Stars, last year?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that in a way.
Yeah, I wonder why. I think it's a drama, but there's certainly a lot of comedy and comedic moments that
so
are
so much
present.
Levity.
Yeah. And I think that's because in real life, tragedy and comedy live close to each other.
They do indeed. When they say comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah.
Well, y'all are gonna do a little scene for us, aren't you not?
Excellent.
Do you need to set it up?
Sure, I'll set it up. Joy's daughter Nina, prior to this scene, has told her mom that she's being harassed in her class by one of her classmates. Joy has tried to get in touch with the teacher, but has been unsuccessful. And this is the teacher's, as we lead into the scene, the teacher has just returned Joy's phone call, and she is outside of her workplace, the hospital, taking the call.
Okay, wonderful. This is Bailey Parks and Bhopal doing a scene from Broad Theater's production of A Doctor's Visit.
Hi, Mrs. Childress? Yes, thank you for returning my call. I tried to speak with you this morning. I wanted to talk about Nina and Sam. Yeah, well, I believe that my daughter is in danger, and I'm disturbed that she remains in the same class as him. As I told you in my message, Sam inappropriately touched my daughter, and I... Yeah, okay, well... Yeah, I'm hoping that you will at least take precautions to separate them. I mean, frankly, I think Sam should be removed from her class, and... The principal wants to meet tomorrow. Okay, let me see if that time works. Yes, okay. It looks like I can meet at 1:30. Is that okay? Good. Oh, Sam's mom will be there. Is there any way that it could just be? Oh. Okay. Yeah, thank you for letting me know. You too. Bye. Crap!
Bad news?
Holy shit!
Okay,
oh my God.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Did you hear that whole conversation?
No, just walked up as you were hanging up.
Ah. I didn't know you smoked.
I don't. Frequently. It's just when I'm a little more on edge.
Yeah. Work this week's been rough.
Yeah. And just dealing with some family stuff. But that woman earlier today certainly didn't help. She was a handful, asking the same question a million times.
I mean... Just think, she was asking the same question because she was nervous. She was there all alone. Who knows where her partner or husband was, if she even has one to help her through this.
Yeah, after that appointment, I can understand why.
Yeah.
It was a joke.
Right. Right, I know.
I'm sorry. It's been a long day. I don't, you know I don't actually mean that, right?
Yeah, no, I know.
Oh, God. I was an ass. I'm sorry I didn't.
No, no. You didn't.
Look,
you
weren't. Horrible. It's okay. What that woman has to do.
Yes,
with.
It's really horrible.
And you know, I would never do anything to.
Yes, I know. I know.
I hope I didn't add more stress to your day.
You haven't. Actually, this is. You know what? It's nice to be distracted from.
Well, whatever's going on, I know that Nina has a great person to look up to.
Thanks.
I mean it. It's important for kids to have good role models.
Excellent. Very good. That's fascinating. My interest is peaked.
I was peaked, yes.
Now, you have a young actor playing Nina, do you not?
Yes, Ione Neves.
Ione Neves?
Yes.
What a great name.
I know.
Totally approve.
Yeah.
And how old is she?
She's 11.
Yeah, how is that?
It is great. She is wonderful. A ball of energy.
Good. So much energy.
So much energy. So much, you know, it's so funny because this is the first time that I don't know about either of you, but I've worked with a child actor. And she's fabulous and wonderful. But like her limbs are spaghetti. Yeah. And it's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. It's great.
Still finding all their footing and understanding their own body.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to keep warning them that they can't break themselves because they have to complete the run.
Yes, don't break yourself. Don't trip over your shoelaces, please.
Or mom.
Yeah. Don't break mom, please. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of my first experience working with kids was with Lucky Cantu when she was 10, and now she's 18 and just won her last award for youth performer.
That's so sweet.
Yes, aww. And so I see a little bit of that in Ione. I think you'll probably be hearing more from her.
Wonderful. Well, we are plumb out of time. This is, when does this open?
This opens tomorrow, Thursday, yep. November 6th.
Okay, and how long do you play?
We run until November 22nd at Hyde Park Theater.
At Hyde Park Theater. And where can folks go to get more information?
You can visit broadtheater.org. I'm going to spell out theater because it's T-H.
You don't need to.
Oh,
it's the fancy way.
All right.
It's the fancy way.
Oh, I love it. All right. It's the R-E way. Okay. All right.
Our audience
knows.
Don't
need to do that.
Well, wonderful. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Lisa.
That was Annika Lekvin, Bo Paul, and Bailey Parks of Broad Theater's production of A Doctor's Visit, opening on November 6th, playing through the 22nd at Hyde Park Theater. For more information, you may visit Broad Theater with an R-E, even though I don't need to say that, .org. And this is all about belief, so I chose from the Cher show, Believe.
Ah.
Do you believe in life?
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air. I'm Lisa.
And Nicole.
And Nicole. We've had a change of guard here. We have
new
folks in here.
New people.
We have Bob Tolero. Hi, Bob.
Hello, everyone.
Love you like crazy.
Yes.
We have Jackson Childs.
Hello. Happy to be here.
And Tori Petrosino.
Hi.
And also Jarrett Mallon is here.
Good afternoon.
Hey, well, we're going to talk about our local stuff first. And then we're going to talk to you about the real reason why you're here. But
the shortest one we've ever had.
I know. We had a lot of closings.
Like the shortest one ever.
I know. We've had a lot of closings, as I just said.
Well, soon going to have a lot of openings.
We had the 51st annual B. Iden Payne Awards on Monday.
And
lots of really good people won. And lots of great competition. I think this was one of the more competitive years out there.
Bob,
you were there.
So many companies. I'm just amazed. When we think of post-COVID, when we had nothing going on, then ATX got together. And, I mean, all these improv groups, God bless us all.
I should say the Ground Floor Theater was nominated for a record number for us, but we won a record few. But what's interesting about that was we did not feel that we were robbed of anything because the competition was that good. And I kept hearing St. Edward's University, Mary Moody Northern Theater over and over and over again.
We did win one
for best
fight choreography for Play That Goes Wrong.
Yes.
Toby Miner,
who did a wonderful speech. Yeah. So congratulations to all the nominees as well as all the winners. And we should say that Lucky Cantu was indeed nominated and won her last youth prize, right. Which is really great.
Yeah. She's aging out of it.
She has been at every single one. She said she started on stage when she was 7 mm-hmm. and has not gone a year without being on stage.
How
so
about that?
That's amazing. And then her fellow other person that won was, you're going to kill me. His name, who I'm just working with him right now. And it was for our show.
I don't know what show.
No. Oh my God. He's going to kill me.
Elizabeth.
This is what happened. Elizabeth McQueen's child.
Nora?
No.
That's a guess.
No. He's, oh my God. Juno McQueen.
Juno. Oh.
And Juno, that is not a slight to you. This is my old brain just loses things.
I tell you, some days the brain library, people have the words checked out.
Okay, so
it
here we go.
It will come back.
Let's do our thing, shall we?
Okay.
You start.
You're missing something on here.
Okay, then add it.
Okay.
You start with the one that you want to add that I missed.
All right. Well, starting this Friday is a Charlie Brown's Christmas at Zach Theater, running through December 28th.
They're not on ATX Theater. .org. It should be.
Yeah.
I like Charlie Brown.
I love Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Georgetown Palace has In the Heights playing through the 2nd. You missed it. It's over.
Right, it's over.
You missed it.
It happened. FOMO.
All gone.
Forklifts Dance Works. It's the end of it. The Way of the Water, the Colorado River, and it's only through the 8th.
Scottish Rite Theater has Dulce, plays through the 9th.
Broad Theater with a doctor's visit. We just had them on. It opens on the 6th and runs through the 26th.
It's at Hyde Park Theater. Mary Moody Northern Amphitheater. Mary Meter Northern Theater, who we're just going to talk to. They're doing Much Ado About Nothing. They open on the 6th and they play through the 16th.
And we also have City Theater with Other Desert Cities, opening on November 7th and running through the 23rd.
Wait a second. Not these desert cities?
No.
There are other desert cities?
So many. Apparently there are here.
I teed it up for you and you didn't bat it
no,
away.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Auditions. We have TexArts is still having auditions for Beehive on the 10th. Austin Scottish Rite has auditions for Miss Nelson is Missing. That happens on the 7th. And ACC has Reefer Madness on the 17th. And finally, Austin Playhouse has Camilla Full of Wishes on November 18th. I like that Austin Playhouse is doing TYA shows these days.
Yeah.
That's relatively new, I think, for them.
They've done like one or two little ones in the last like year or two. So it's now more like it's a consistent jam opposed to a here and there
kind of jam.
Yep. And they've got the camps and classes going. They've got a lot more for the youths.
They do. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's do Today in Theater History, shall we? Yes, we shall.
Yes, we shall.
Yes.
Please tell us about those people and things that happened on
this
day.
We're going to start with birthdays.
Oh,
it's the birthday of one Andrea McArdle.
Oh, did she?
I came very close to playing Annie.
You could have played something from Starlight Express. She was in the original cast of that, too.
But I didn't.
Just saying.
Also, the birthday of Howard McGillin. Don't know who he is. Actually, no. I recognize his picture. We're getting back to getting pictures.
Okay.
He's a phantom?
Ooh, nice.
Okay, Jarrett Mallon said he's a phantom. Sebastian Arculus and one Sam Shepard. Oh, and not to... So Sam Shepard isn't feeling lonely. There's another Sam Rockwell.
Oh, good. That's a good
his
Sam.
His birthday.
I like Sam Shepard, but the Sam Rockwell.
And Keala Settle.
Oh, Keala Settle. That's a good one, too.
Yep. Opening at this time in 1987, Into the Woods.
Ooh. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. You saw the 87 version?
Yeah.
That was the original, I'm guessing, yes?
Yeah. Well, I saw it. Yeah. I saw it with Bernadette, and then I did see it with Home Chick when she went in.
Home Chick. Yeah, that's...
oh, my gosh. Vanessa Williams.
So it played at the Martin Beck Theater in 1987. We also had Blithe Spirit, opened in 1941. I don't think you saw that one. The 5th of July opened on this date in 1980. Don't you think they should have opened in July?
You would think. It would have been great marketing. Surprise. Just saying.
And then 10 years ago in 2015, On Your Feet opened at this point.
Oh, that Gloria. Did you know my father swears that if you play Gloria Estefan when you fish, the fish will come.
Really?
They like yeah. Gloria Estefan.
Also, if you play it backwards, it says, Paul is dead, I buried Paul.
Yes, he used to make me play the Gloria on the
Only road. You would get, or maybe some of us yes, would get that. Y'all get don't it. Understand that reference.
We
right?
don't understand
it's
that
It's another
reference.
Example of how we're old.
Yeah, exactly.
Today is the day of examples of being old.
So we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to a little bit of Conga from the Broadway show, On Your Feet. We'll be right back. Lisa and Nicole off stage and on the air on 91.7 KOOP at KOOP also .org.
Yes.
.org.
Yes.
Yeah, that was me saying a sentence but in different order.
That was very Japanese gen structure for you.
It was. I'm going to reintroduce our guests for the real reason why they're here, which is to talk about their production of Much Ado About Nothing. And that's with an apostrophe and nothing. Never mind.
And it's something.
This is from Mary Moody Northern Theater at St. Ed's University. We are fortunate enough to have the director and friend of the show and friend of mine, Robert Talaro.
He's my friend, too.
I know. Neil Patrick sends his love to you.
Does Neil he? Patrick Harris, NPH?
Uh-huh.
You working with him right now?
Well, Nicole has a story.
Yeah, we have a connection.
Well, history.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a connection. I feel very left out right now.
Don't be.
It's a little okay. Hedwig.
we have two of the stars of the show playing Beatrice and Benedict. We have Tori Petrosino.
Hello.
And Jackson Childs.
Hello.
And then... off in the background, nowhere near a microphone, is Jarrett Mallon. He's waving and bowing, and he's...
doing cartwheels.
He's doing cartwheels. He's doing a dance.
He just did the craziest backflip.
So, Bob, Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it. Don't know who wrote it. What is it?
It's one of them plays. It's by Billy Shakes. And it's very popular.
Who
There's
Billy
another
Shakes?
Production this year already of it. There's a second one this year, so it's kind of a... Much Ado About Nothing wars going on. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful tragic comedy, especially the Battle of the Sexes is always popular. And he's amazing how he can have universal characters that last forever. We're putting it in the 1960s in Italy, in Rome.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
1960s yeah. Italy.
Very excited.
Is there a comparison between the 60s in the United States and the 60s in Rome? Is it the same
Not
kind
necessarily,
of
as far as we did a lot of research, and as far as a war, you know, the 60s, time of love, time of war. Mm. Italians were not necessarily that totally connected to the Vietnam War, Mm-mm. but they had so many skirmishes going on in their own country.
True. Like they had
at
their
the
own
same
problems.
Time that it all so fits many. In really kind of fun. We have lots of music and dancing, and it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's wonderful.
So
and both of our actors here today, oftentimes, especially here on the show, we get some of the guest artists in, which are professional actors, shills as we call them, or ringers. That ringers is the word I was looking for, not shills. But this time we have two students, which I think is great. Tori, what year are you in at the school?
So I'm graduating this upcoming year, 2026.
Mazel
tov. Class 2026, yeah, senior. Very excited, very nervous.
Okay, cool. And Jackson?
I'm a class of 2028, currently a sophomore, and really excited just in general from college.
Super talented.
Yeah. Yep. Oh,
super
talented.
Well,
Give yourself some credit.
I would assume that both of you are super talented. Are there also guest artists in this show?
Uh-huh. Yes. Sheila Gordon and Patrick Lawler. They are equity artists, and they are playing the parents.
The parents.
Mm-hmm. The parents. Mm-hmm.
The parents.
Yes.
So y'all are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
Mm-hmm. That's
we
cool.
Are.
Okay. Bob, do you want to set the scene up?
It's the first time we meet these two. They've obviously had a history, but we don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time they are reconnecting after their time together.
Okay, wonderful. This is Jackson Childs and Tori Petrosino doing a scene for Mary Moody Northern Theater's production of Much Ado About Nothing.
I wonder that you will still be talking, Signor Benedict. Nobody marks you.
What? My dear lady, Disdain, are you yet living?
Is it possible Disdain should die while she hath such meat food to feed it as Signor Benedict? Courtesy itself must convert to disdain if you come in her presence.
Ooh, then is courtesy a turncoat? But it is certain that I am loved of all ladies, only you excepted. Mm. I would I could find in my heart I had not a hard heart, for truly I love none.
A dear happiness to women. I thank God in my cold blood I am of your humor for that. I had rather hear my dog bark at a crow than a man swear he loves me.
Oh, God keep your ladyship still in that mind, so some gentleman or other shall scape a predestinate scratched face.
Scratching could not make it worse, and for such a face as yours were.
Well, you are a rare parrot, teacher.
A bird of my tongue is better than a beast of yours.
I would my horse had the speed of your tongue, and so good a continuer. But keep your way. In God's name I've done. Mm.
You always end with a jade's trick. I know you of old.
What a great scene.
Fun. Yeah, perfect.
I'll tell you,
nice scene choice there.
I'm not familiar with this particular playwright, but
he may go somewhere.
He has got a way with words.
I know.
He does.
Yeah. If he works hard enough, he may make something happen.
That's wonderful. And of course, Benedict and Beatrice are one of the classic couples in Shakespeare's canon. How is that for the two of you to be playing this couple?
It's so much fun.
It really is.
I love the banter between the two.
I wish we had our camera because they have like grins and smiles as they are answering.
We're enthusiastic.
Yeah. The witty banter is so much fun. It's so well written. And the fact that we like got paired up, I think you reached out to me when we realized we're going to be called in for auditions. And we just sat down, ran our lines.
Dove into the language.
Oh, yeah. We worked it all out. So by the time we actually did auditions, we already had part of the chemistry down. And
I guess Bob liked it a little.
I didn't know you did all that prep work. You never told me that.
But it really is fantastic to work with such a talented scene partner as Tori and be part of the show. It's fantastic. No, seriously, you're fantastic.
You are too.
Well, I can tell you, you're both fantastic based on the reading I just heard.
Thank you.
I concur.
One of the things I always like to ask the students that are coming in here through St. Ed's, which is one of the few theater programs here that does fuse equity professional actors with students, how was working side by side on this show and others that you've done at St. Ed's? How has that been for you? Has it been a positive experience?
Yes, such a positive experience. I love getting to work with our equity actors. They're so kind too, and they love being involved with like all the students and just hanging out, and they definitely teach us as we go, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Patrick Lawler, who is going to be playing Leonardo in the show, is fantastic to work with. Whenever we're on break, he always recounts like professional encounters that he's had and shows that he's done. It's actually his sixth time doing Much Ado About Nothing. Yes. He's just playing Leonardo for the first time. Yeah. And he's so much fun to work with, and he's a fantastic actor. We have so much to learn from him, and it's overall just a great working with him.
Well, that is great. And we don't have a whole bunch more time left, but one thing I do like to do when I'm talking to students, and especially at this point, Tori, of course, because I do it every single time. Tori, you're a senior, you're graduating. Mm-hmm. Do you have theatrical plans post-graduation?
Either theatrical or film or business. I'm thinking about going into business film production, becoming a producer, something like that. That sounds incredible to me, and I'd love to get more film experience as well as some theater experience.
So the creative.
Are you
going to
stay in Austin?
I think I'm going to stay in Austin for a little. I've grown to love it here a lot.
Lovely. Lovely. Nice. And I know you've got a couple of years, Jackson, but what about, do you have sights on making a career out of this?
I do. I love acting, and I would love to write plays, become a playwright, write shows. Writing has always been something I've known for a really long time that I've wanted to do. But also making movies, acting in film, actually very similar to what Tori mentioned, so possibly becoming a producer.
Well, wonderful. If you haven't looked into Scriptworks here in Austin, you should do that. Bob,
that would be your
when
jam.
Is the show open and close?
Jared can help. It opens tomorrow.
We open tomorrow, November 6th through 16th.
Okay. And Jared, remind me the special secret URL.
It is. It's crazy.
I can't remember
it.
It's
such a crazy URL.
What is it?
StEdwards.edu/theater.
That's it.
It's okay. Crazy.
Thank y'all so much for being. I don't know why I can't remember that. Thank y'all for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Love you.
Okay, that was Bob Tolero, Jackson Childs, and Tony Petrosino, and Jarrett Mallon, all of St. Ed's Mary Moody Northern Theaters. Much Ado About Nothing, opening November 6th, playing through the 16th. For more information, steds.edu/theater.
Yeah.
And this is from Much Ado About Nothing, The Rain, It Raineth Every Day. We'll be right back.
And a tiny little boy with
hair. We're back. Only have time to say goodbye. What a fun show.
We have some openings coming up that I can't wait to talk about reviews next week.
Yeah.
Purple Rain tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The Queen of Versailles this weekend. We got lots to talk about next week.
We'll be talking about all those next week.
I know.
In the meantime, coming up here on KOOP is Tracy Schultz. He's going to be telling us what's new.
Because he likes to do that on his show, What's New, with Tracy Schultz.
True, true, true. Yes, I did. So this is a new show by Taylor Mack that we're going to play going out. The album just came out. This is Aristophanes Stand-Up.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's from
It's
from a show called The Hang. It looks pretty interesting. It just opened recently off Broadway. Anyway, this is Aristophanes Stand-Up from The Hang. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, folks.
Is virtue in a joke that's dated? Is virtue in a joke that hated? When the past howls, but the present doesn't get it.